Good morning. Happy Father's Day again for those of you fathers who are here. It's a special day for us, and I appreciate the all of you fathers who are here who have dedicated your lives to your children, and I hope to spend a few minutes with you focusing our attention on the importance of fathers in our lives. Would you pray with me? Oh, our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the earthly fathers that we have been privileged to be to experience in our lives. Now I pray, Lord, that you would guide me in the words that I speak, that they might be from you and not from me, powered by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin with, I'd like you to think back in your childhood. Each one of us has different lengths of time to think back there, but think in your childhood of a time when you can recall something special about your father. You don't have to share that with anybody, but fix in your mind, was it positive? Or maybe it was negative. Regardless of what it was, your father had an impact on you, didn't it? How did you reflect on it at that time compared to how you reflect on it now? I know in some of my memories of my father, that has changed just a little bit. I wanted to share a positive experience that I had. I'd considered sharing a negative one, but which turned into a positive. But I'll only share this one. I was probably in, maybe ninth grade, I suppose. I wasn't yet 16, but my father asked me to drive him to opportunities that he had to perform. He was an amateur magician. He was also a farmer, by the way. And he enjoyed going to the one-room country school houses where PTA meetings were held, and they would invite him to come in and entertain. They obviously enjoyed him. Well, as I look back on that, it was a special time for me to be together with my father, but also a special time for me to learn how to drive better and for him to give his guidance, even though, I didn't really realize that he was doing that at the time. But that was a positive experience for me. After I left home, as I think back now, my father's been gone for a number of years, he was always positive and encouraging and respectful of my decisions. Even though he wasn't perfect, he was a great dad. And I hope you think about your father in that way as well. Maybe you have both positive and negative memories of your parental relationships. I hope your memories of your father are generally positive. This makes it much easier to view our Heavenly Father positively if we've had a good relationship with our father. Unfortunately, too many in our culture do not have a positive attitude of their fathers. And this makes it very challenging to view God as our loving, gracious, heavenly Father. How much of your own actions contributed to the overall positive or negative relationship with your father in growing up? Our relationships with our father in the past have had a great influence on the person we've become today. I've chosen Psalm 127, as you've already noticed, as the primary text for our discussion today, but I'll also be referring to some other scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 127 right now. It's attributed to Solomon as the author. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. This psalm emphasizes the importance of relying on the Lord for purpose and meaning in every aspect of life. Do you think the majority of people in our culture today live as though they believe the words of Psalm 127? Verse 2 seems more descriptive of many of the families today. Does this describe those of us who strive to faithfully follow Christ? Are we anxious about the things we do each day or even on certain days? Let's look at the current situation in our culture regarding the impact of fathers. The absence of a father in the home who is engaged with his children is having far-reaching impacts. I think all of us are aware of some of those in our culture today. Here in the rural areas, we probably are not as aware of some of the significant impacts that, as much as in the urban areas. Here are some of the outcomes which are the results of studies across our country. My intent in sharing these is not to be critical of anyone or to make anyone feel uncomfortable or resentful of their circumstances. I know that we do have some single parents in our congregation, and I think it's important for us to recognize that. Here are some observations by the National Center for Fathering. Kids growing up without fathers have more emotional and behavioral difficulties in adolescence. Many young people today struggle with a sense of identity. Rather than being told they've been made in the image of God, they're told their image depends on how they feel. They're told they can be whatever they want to be, and they're told that they may have been born in the wrong body. We're seeing the results of these deceptive words. There's an explosion of young people expressing gender dysphoria. And have you observed or heard about the increased incidence of depression, especially among girls? Although some of that is attributed to the impact of smartphones and screen time, the absence of fathers contributes significantly. Another observation of kids growing up without fathers, they are more susceptible to peer pressure. The desire to be liked and accepted is part of maturing, but fathers can help fill this need. Love and affirmation from a father to his daughter or his son helps them feel more secure and less susceptible to peer influences. The father's love can also help them better understand the love of God as our heavenly Father. Next point, girls who don't have a strong relationship with their fathers during adolescence show more psychological distress in adult life. Depression and a lack of sense of direction in life are not limited to teen girls. The incidence of depression among women generally has greatly increased in recent years. Another point that they've observed, teenagers who don't feel close to their fathers in adolescence go on to have less satisfactory adult marital relationships. Fathers significantly help their daughters and their sons understand what it means to be a woman or a man and to have committed relationships. Fathers can affirm their kids in a way that helps them feel valued and to have a sense of worth. Another observation, children with less involved fathers are more likely to live in poverty. Fathers involved with their children reflect their concern in providing for them rather than spending resources on their own wants. Single mothers who do not have support from the father of their children are often less able to produce the income necessary to provide adequately for the basic needs of their family. Another observation, children whose fathers are not engaged in their education are more likely to drop out of school or to be involved in criminal activity. Engaged fathers help their sons and daughters to understand the meaning and value of education and the importance of obeying the laws of the governing authorities. Fathers' involvement with their kids, along with appropriate discipline, when needed, helps them understand the importance of taking personal responsibility for their actions. How often blame is shifted these days among adults in positions of responsibility. Here's another way to look at the impact of fatherlessness in the home. I hope this isn't too depressing. John Stonestreet, who's president of the Colson Center, said in a recent commentary, quote, "If one in four kids in America are growing up without their father in the home, and if statistics hold, this means that 18.5 million children are three times more likely to engage in criminal activity than those who have dads at home. Those 18.5 million kids are more likely to engage in sexual activity earlier, are less likely to go to college, more likely to have emotional and behavioral problems, more likely to struggle academically, twice as likely to commit suicide, and much more likely to commit violence. The vast majority of mass shooters in the past 20 years were young men who were in some way estranged from their fathers." This doesn't mean that all kids who grow up without dad in the home will fail to succeed. Many single moms do an amazingly heroic job raising their kids. Many of them also draw on their own fathers or grandfathers and other men, even coaches and concerned neighbors, to help their kids understand and experience male influence. Statistics do not determine the destiny of individuals. At the same time, however, statistics predict the future of societies. Here are a couple more statistics worth noting. Over 85% of incarcerated men did not have an engaged father in their home. Their greatest desire is for a father figure. 90% of kids on the street come from fatherless homes. Our culture is experiencing the result of decades of declining involvement of fathers in the home. Since 2017, less than half of all young adults had continuously married parents. This is a result of a trend which began accelerating greatly in the 1960s when the first no-fault divorce legislation was signed. Some of you, like me, can remember those days. By 1980, the divorce rate had more than doubled. People too readily have chosen to bail out rather than to work it out. Another factor that contributed to this trend was the introduction of birth control methods, which enabled disconnecting the intimacy of marriage with having children. People started experiencing one of the pleasures of marriage without the responsibilities and challenges that go along with the commitment to marriage and children. Those relationships outside the bonds of marriage became much more frequent. Today, the culture at large accepts that kind of relationship as normal. And in some circles, it's actually expected. But this is not God's design. Our challenge today, in fact, our obligation, is to provide strong marriages as the foundation for raising our children. The primary responsibility for this rests on the shoulders of the husband and father. A very recent nationwide study on faith and relationships by an organization called Communio reveals that the collapse of marriage and the resulting decline in resident fatherhood may offer the best explanation for the decline of Christianity in the United States. That's a heavy one. This kind of information may seem depressing to us, but there is a positive aspect to it. A finding in the study is that it found that 80% of all Sunday church attendees in the United States grew up in a continuously married home with biological parents. As noted in the Breakpoint Contest podcast on Friday, that's by John Stonestreet, as I referenced earlier, every person ever created knows in their bones the irreplaceable importance of fathers, either because of the comfort, steadiness, and love we received from an attentive dad, or because of the pain of his absence. Committed dads are essential ingredients for healthy kids, healthy families, healthy societies, and specifically for more healthy men. So our ultimate challenge and the call from God on each of our lives is still the same. It's to share the gospel message to those who are not Bible-believing church attenders, whose lives are not built on a foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, and further, to actually live out the gospel in our lives. Fathers have many roles to play, and it's very essential to note that none of us fathers does it perfectly. We're all sin-inclined individuals. We have a sin nature, and that is reflected in our fathering. Some of the varied roles many fathers fill include provider, counselor, coach, repairer or fixer, arbitrator, teacher, disciplinarian, planner, spiritual leader, discipler, encourager, defender, and a source of security, along with many other roles. He may not do all of these alone, but at least he has major responsibilities in each. I'm sure you can mention other roles that you fathers have filled. In our general role as father, we are to set an example for our children, the most important of which is to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, as we are commanded in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Likewise, wives are commanded to respect their husbands. But if they don't, this doesn't let us dads off the hook. Granted, fathers, you may come home tired after a hard day at work, but the command still stands to love your wife. This is an agape form of love. That's a Greek word, of course, which means it's intentional rather than emotional. It's a choice that we make, not dependent on the other person's response. That means serving her, being sensitive to her needs, and responding to those needs. Too many times we allow our emotions to override what we know is right. We are to be self-controlled and not easily provoked. Truth and instruction for our kids have often to be repeated and repeated and even repeated again. Godly and appropriate discipline is essential for fathers to raise God-fearing children. Proverbs 13:24 tells us that whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And Hebrews 12:9 points out the importance of discipline in our relationship with God. It says, besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? How then can fathers work to be more effective in their critical role? The National Center for Fathering has impacted men all over the world with guidance on being better fathers. They have identified 7 traits of effective fathers. It's important that everyone understands that there are no perfect fathers. Working on these 7 traits will help us to be more effective as fathers, however. The first one that they note is having a high degree of commitment. Do we put our kids' needs ahead of our own? Barriers include spending adequate amounts of time with our children. Quality time does not take the place of quantity time. Kids really pick up on a lack of interest in them and commitment to their fathers. Number 2, knowing your child. It's essential to know each child individually. They're not the same. Spending time with them is only one factor that helps know your children. Do you know their interests? What's important to them right now? What are their aspirations? What do they hope to be and do? Who are their friends? What are their fears and their anxieties? Number 3, consistency of these characteristics that we can work on. This is foundational. Our moods, attitudes, and behaviors are critical. Being dependable is essential. One dimension of this is doing with or for them what we say we will do. Some of you perhaps listen to Focus on the Family. If you do, you've heard the President Jim Daly comment on a situation when he was a child. He was waiting, glove in hand, for his father to show up. He had been separated from his mother. And his father had promised to take him to a baseball game. His spirit was crushed by the failure of his dad to show up. Number 4, being a protector and provider. Dads need to be there when a crisis happens. Our kids must be able to count on us to protect and provide for them to the best of our ability. We need to help our kids know some of the challenges they may face and ultimately teach and demonstrate to them how to respond to the unexpected. Number 5, covenant relationship with our wife. They need to know that the marriage is permanent. They need have no fear or concern about their parents separating. This is essential for both daughters and sons. Our kids will take cues on how we treat our wives. Being an active listener is the next point. We need to actively share empathy with our kids, probing with curiosity and genuine interest. Where our kids are and what's important to them, not in an inquisitive way, or investigative way, I should say, as though we're grilling them. Can you repeat back, in your own words, the meaning of what you've just heard from your kids? That's active listening. It shows we understand. And number 7, finally, being spiritually aware. Do we know where our children are in their relationships with God? How our children are morally and ethically focused and living out their life with a sense of faith. We are an example of our Heavenly Father, who, of course, is the only perfect Father. Dads, are there any of these traits that you need to focus on to be more intentional in being a godly father. Ultimately, to be guided in our critical role as fathers, we must daily nurture our own relationship with our Lord. We can't do this job of child rearing on our own. The culture around the cultural forces around us are too strong. The enemy seeks to distract us from godly actions. 1 Peter 5:18 tells us, "Be sober-minded. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." To help our children understand this sometimes means administering firm discipline, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 affirms the importance of discipline. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." Discipline is a reflection of the care and compassion we have for our children. Giving our kids everything they want or ask for does not help them to personally develop self-discipline and to learn the importance of delayed gratification, two very important elements in life today. Let's go back to Psalm 127, a Psalm of Solomon. Verse 1, first part of it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Our relationship to Jesus as the rock on which we build our house includes our marriage, our relationship with our kids, how we present ourselves in the culture, and how we live our lives even when we think no one is looking. As the song says, "Jesus is the solid rock on which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Are we, any of us, building our house in vain? Second part of verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Just as with a city, unless we look to the Lord Jesus as the one who's watching over us, we will make our decisions in vain. All decisions we make, whether in our roles as fathers or in leadership roles, are vanity if they are not based on Jesus and our understanding of his direction in our lives. Verse 2, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." Solomon had a lot to say about vanity, doing things of no significance. Much about it is in the book of Ecclesiastes. Here, he is telling us that it doesn't matter how hard or long we work or how concerned we are to provide for our families, unless our focus and trust are on God, it is all meaningless. If we place our trust in him, he provides for all our needs, including sleep. Verse 3, "Behold, children are an heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." We who have children have received a gift directly from God, the creator of all things. Do we think of that when our children are misbehaving and testing our patience? Do we think of that when our children turn away from the faith in Christ that they have been taught when growing up and which was reinforced by teaching they received through the church? Our children, just like each one of us, have been made in the image of God, and thus they are a blessing. If they grow to love Christ and if he is their guide in each of their choices, they are an extra blessing to godly fathers and mothers. Verses 4 and 5, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." Fathers, we are greatly blessed when we have the amazing privilege and heavy responsibility of raising our children. We may not meet at the city gate as did people in Bible times, but we are blessed nonetheless, especially if our children continue in the faith, placing their trust in Christ alone. In the culture at large, we are facing increasing challenges to be strong in our faith. Are we, both you and me, able to give a reason for the faith we have, the hope we have in Jesus Christ? And perhaps even more important, can our children know and express the reason for belief in God? This is not only a challenge to parents today, but also to each one of us in the church, whether in a leadership role or as a member of the congregation. Let us be diligent to do everything we can to equip ourselves and our children to be a positive force for Christ in a world that is chasing unreal and irresponsible objectives, especially with our children. As we close, I would like to share with you a brief description of the legacy of a godly father, Jonathan Edwards. He was a Puritan preacher in the 1700s, one of the most respected preachers in his day. He attended Yale at age 13 and later went on to become the president of Princeton College. He married his wife Sarah in 1727. They were blessed with 11 children. Every night when Mr. Edwards was home, he would spend an hour conversing with his family and then praying a blessing over each child. Jonathan and his wife Sarah passed on a great godly legacy to their 11 children. Let me just read a few of the results from 150 years later. Jonathan Edwards' legacy includes one U.S. vice president, one dean of a law school, one dean of a medical school, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 65 professors, 75 military officers, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, 100 clergymen, and 285 college graduates. How may this be explained? Edwards was a godly man, but he was also hardworking, intelligent, and moral. He also had a godly wife who contributed greatly to the capacity and talent, intensity and character of the more than 1,400 Edwards family in the 150 years following his death. Being a godly father is best done as a team effort with our wives. It is not likely we will have a legacy like Jonathan Edwards, but trusting God for his help and blessing, we can leave a legacy that will make a positive contribution to the kingdom of God. Is it worth it? Being a father with all the responsibilities and challenges, its blessings, we can leave a legacy that will make a positive contribution to the kingdom of God. Even in disappointments, it is well worth it. I say yes. It's worth the challenges and responsibilities of being a father. Dads, enjoy the day with your children or your grandchildren. Children, whatever your age, that's all of us, honor your father in this special day. Show him how much you love and appreciate him. If your father's no longer living, you can still join in celebrating those who are carrying the awesome load of fatherhood in the uncertain times we are living in. I'll close with Proverbs 23, verse 24. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. Happy Father's Day. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the fathers that we have among us who are living godly lives, representing you as best they can. Thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious and forgiving God. And even if we do not live up to the high standard that you have set for us, yet, Lord, we know we can trust you to be with us, for you are faithful. Guide us each one that we might strive to place our lives on the foundation that is Jesus Christ and live in a manner that is pleasing and honoring to you as you call us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.